we find solid ground. We find an anchor in the storms of life. Father, thank you that in our surrender to you, that we are firm and that we are stronger than we could ever be on our own. Father, we rejoice. We rejoice in your strength for us, your anchoring for us, and we rejoice that Christ is our solid rock. Father, as we give, may we give with rejoicing hearts. Lord, may we give, Lord, because you first gave. Lord, may we give, Lord, because it is our worship to you. Lord, receive these offerings, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless us as we hear the special music ministered to us this morning by Leah. Thank you. Thank you for playing, Leah. What a wonderful reminder that no amount of time on earth will ever bring us to the place where we will know the greatness of our God. There's still more. There's still more to know of Him. What a wonderful reminder. Thank you. Thank you for the special music this morning. Children at this time would be dismissed for Children's Church. And I would invite everyone else to open their Bible to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Luke 19. We're in the series on finding stability, standing in times of change, being anchored in times of change. Everything in life is in flux. There's nothing that stays the same. And how do we find stability when life is changing? So far, we've come to the reality that we have to find it in Christ. It comes, being anchored comes in Christ. And in Christ, we are safe and secure. In Christ, we are loved. In Christ, we have confidence. We have peace with Him. And this morning, we want to talk about the subject of significance and the reality that in Christ, you matter. And as we would look into that topic this morning, we're going to look into the life of the wee little man, Zacchaeus. And I played around with the idea, maybe we should all sing Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but then that means I have to lead it, so we're not going to do that. But you'll probably be singing Zacchaeus was a wee little man for the rest of the day. But let's read the story together, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. As we would prepare to look into this together, let's ask for the Holy Spirit to lead us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we would look into it now, I pray that you might open the eyes of our hearts, that you might give us understanding beyond what would be capable of us in ourselves. Holy Spirit, would you do that work? Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you, Holy Spirit, would want to say to us, your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're at Mahaffey Camp for the last 9 days, back now. We had a successful time there. It wasn't too hot, didn't rain too much. It was a good time. While we were there, got word that a dear saint up in the church she used to pastor up in Emporium passed away. It was expected that she would be passing soon. She was 91 years old. And so being that their new pastor in Emporium has not yet started, it was requested that a former pastor and myself head up to Emporium to do this funeral. So yesterday, another pastor and I journeyed from Mahaffey up to Emporium, and we did this funeral. And she was a wonderful saint who loved the Lord deeply, and so it was a time of rejoicing as her time on earth, her suffering on earth was over, and she was with the Lord rejoicing. And so in that, there was great celebration. But in the midst of it, the other pastor I was privileged to do this service with was sharing a message, and he talked about the fact that 91 years seems like a long time, but in the breadth of humanity and in the length of years that have existed so far on planet Earth with humans, that 91 years is just a blip on the radar. Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Kind of makes us think that even 91 years really is just a blip on the radar in terms of years and the mass of humanity that has been on this Earth and is on this Earth today. really makes you wonder and wrestle with the idea of significance, doesn't it? If 91 years of life well lived, and 91 years in the mass of humanity on this earth and of human history is just a blip on the radar, you have to wonder, do we really matter? Do we really have significance? It's been said that a person finds their significance, studies tell us that a person finds their significance based on the person that is most important in their life. Significance comes to us from the person who is most important in our lives, or even the people that are most important in our lives. That we find it based on relationships with others. But what happens in the midst of life when people come and go? When death inevitably comes to that person, or separation happens in relationship, or seasons of life change, and those people that you found your greatest significance in are no longer there. I hear many folks talk about legacy, talk about what is being left behind as they transition from one season of life to the next, or even from life on earth into eternity. What is being left behind? What is the legacy? What will be remembered of them? It's questions of, am I leaving something that matters? Do I, as a human being on planet Earth, do I matter? You may be in that place right now where you're questioning, what is my significance? Do I matter in this season of life that I find myself in? Or what is it that makes me matter in this season of life that I find myself in? Change will do that. It will shift what we view as significant. But there's one thing that doesn't shift. There's one thing that doesn't change. There is one thing that gives us significance and reminds us that we do matter no matter what happens in life. And that is the reality that there is a person who sees you as significant, and that is your Heavenly Father. This morning, as we look in the story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man, we'll see where significance truly comes from. That we might turn our attention to our Father in heaven and to our identity in Christ, because when our most important person in our lives is Him, no matter what season of life comes, no matter what change happens, our significance will not change. So this morning we want to begin by thinking through our view of where we find our significance. And the first idea we want to look at is we want to see how the world measures significance, because many times this is how we measure significance for ourselves. So sermon notes are in your bulletin. You can fill those in if you would desire. But these are the ways that oftentimes we value and we measure how significant we are. The first is by our appearance. How do I look? By appearance, how do I look? Verse 3 in this story of Zacchaeus, we are told that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but being a short man, he could not. Zacchaeus was what? A short man, I'm guessing the song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He was so short that in order to see Jesus, he had to climb a sycamore fig tree because the crowd was blocking his view. I often wonder how short Zacchaeus really was, because I've seen people short in stature be able to maneuver in and out of crowds because they don't have a lot of physical stature. So he must have been really short, really small, that he wasn't able to weave his way through the crowd to get to the front to see Jesus, that his only way to see Jesus was to climb a tree. When it comes to human physical appearance, physical stature that would give a person significance, Zacchaeus had very little. On the worldly scale of appearance, he was pretty insignificant. Probably people, if they were looking at him, would overlook him. His appearance gave him little significance. You know, we live in a world, don't we, that views appearance as a huge measuring stick for significance. All you have to do is go to the grocery store or to Walmart or somewhere that has a magazine rack, and what do you see? Beauty, 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 or what we are told is beautiful. What is being pushed towards us as this is what will make you significant. Look like this. In Mahaffey Camp, oftentimes you see people that you haven't seen in a year. The only time you see them is when you go back to work there or and you run into people that you don't see for a year since the last Mahaffey Camp. And I have to say, the whole appearance thing got to me. Because there were a number of people, four or five, that the first time they saw me, they said, "Wow, you've gotten a lot grayer since last year. You're looking a lot older than you did." I thought, "Oh, man, I didn't realize how gray I was getting." One person that's a mentor to me, I haven't seen him in a while, talked to him on the phone, but I haven't seen him in a while, he said, "Wow, you're really getting gray, and boy, you're losing that baby face. You're starting to look old." Appearance, for the first time, as far as my age, was making me think a little bit. Oh, man, what's going on? I don't think I was looking that old, but obviously I was. The beautiful part, though, when I went to Emporium yesterday, many people said, "Wow, you're looking good." So I felt like I was doing a little bit better. It's a good counterbalance. But if we base our significance on appearance, which the world says is what is important, we are going to find this up and down roller coaster of significance. One day we may feel like we matter. Another day like we don't. Some people may see us as beautiful and others as not. If we place our significance in our appearance, how do I look? We will live a roller coaster. Second way the world views it is affluence. How much do I have? Zacchaeus, we're told, was a wealthy man. Verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus, chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He was a wealthy man. Tax collectors often were wealthy individuals. They were wealthy because they had sold themselves to the Roman government to be able to collect tax for Rome from the people that they lived among. Zacchaeus was a Jew who worked for the trader, who was a trader working for the oppressor, the Romans. And so they were often paid well, tax collectors were often paid well by Rome to do this job of collecting taxes for the oppressor. But what tax collectors were also given the freedom to, they were told, this is how much you have to collect. But the people that were being collected from did not know how much they had to pay. And so a tax collector, if they were told, you have to collect $10, a tax collector was free to say, Rome asks and is requiring 15, or 20, or 40, or 100. Tax collectors paid well by Rome could become even wealthier based on how much they said they were to collect, cheating their own people. Zacchaeus must have been pretty good at this, because Luke goes so far as to make it known that he was a wealthy man. Not just a well-paid tax collector, but a wealthy man. On a worldly scale of affluence, he was significant. He had a lot of money. He was comfortable. But I'm sure there was a big asterisk next to it, because he got it in a cheating, unethical way. Our world tells us that the more you have, the more significant you are. That the more that is in your bank account, the higher your 401k, the bigger your house, the nicer your car, the bigger your boat, the more exotic your vacation. All of those things and much, much more define success and significance. That if you have a lot, you are significant. You matter. But the catch in all that is, there's always someone more significant than you. No matter how much you have, there is usually someone who has more. And so if you compare yourself, you will always feel like you lack significance in the grand scheme of things, because someone will always be more significant. Someone will always matter more because they have more. It's an empty mode of finding significance. The third is achievement. Achievement. How much have I accomplished? Zacchaeus, not just was he wealthy, but verse 2 tells us that he was the chief tax collector. In other words, he had risen above the other tax collectors to where he was an excellent tax collector. Whether he was shrewd, or whether he had had a way with people, or whether he had been very faithful to Rome, one way or another, he had climbed the sort of corporate ladder among the tax collector world. He had risen above the rest so that he was a chief tax collector. As the people would have saw him of his own nation, he would have been even more despised, because he wasn't just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. But among Rome, he carried significance. And among his tax collector buddies, he carried significance. In our world today, significance comes from achievement. The higher you rise, the more you do, the better the title, the better the job, the better the position, will tell you are more significant or less. Friends, if we look to what we have accomplished in our lives, no matter what it is, it will always change on us. There will always be someone who achieves more, who does better, who has the better title, who has accomplished more. Significance does not come with achievement. And there will be a day, much like the woman in Emporium, that no matter how much she achieved, those who knew her and loved her will pass on themselves, and probably her significance in the grand scheme of life of what everyone remembers will be just that, a blip on the radar. If it's just what we achieve, it's empty and a roller coaster. And last one, approval. How popular am I? How popular am I? How many people like me? Verse 7, it says that when Jesus saw Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm going to your house today." That when he came down, all the people that were gathered around to see Jesus, all the people saw this, verse 7, and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus was not liked by people. As a tax collector, as I said, he had betrayed his own people. He had sided with the enemy. He had sided with the oppressors. He had become a traitor. Whenever Jesus was really ministering to the people who were on the outcast, there's two groups of people: the tax collectors and the sinners. When the religious folks got upset at Jesus, it was because he was often hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners. Among Zacchaeus' own people, he was wildly unpopular. People would have hated him. They would have loathed him. They would have wanted to string him up. And so you can imagine the ire of the people as Jesus, the one who everybody is crowding around to see, picks out an unpopular, hated, despised tax collector. He was a pretty unpopular guy. And yet Jesus wants to go to his house. You can imagine that Zacchaeus was not a guy who felt like he was very significant when it came to the areas of approval. When it came to appearance, he probably didn't feel very significant. When it came to affluence, he had a lot, so he probably felt pretty significant. When it came to achievement amongst his crew, he had probably had a good amount of significance. The reality is, all of these, appearance, affluence, achievement, and approval, all of them will lead us to an empty place of ultimate significance, of ultimately answering the question, do I matter? You may find yourself having achieved significance in all four of those, and yet at the core of your being, you may say, but do I really matter? There are people who I matter to. There are people who say I'm significant, but what happens if things change and I am no longer with them? What happens if they no longer like my money? What happens if they no longer think I look good as I age? What happens if I no longer have the same job or do the same things? What happens? Will these people really accept me? Will they see me as one who matters? One with significance. Today you may even be looking at those four and say, you know what, I don't know if any of those make me significant. And if none of those make you significant, it's actually a good thing. Zacchaeus was a man with some significance, but even amongst those who said he was, it was still a shifting, changing significance. There's got to be something better. So we need to look at how God shows us that we're significant, so that we might find our significance in Him and in Him alone. How did the Father show us that we are significant? Well, verses 9 and 10 tell us. Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. The way the Father demonstrates significance to us and that we are significant is in three ways. One, that the Father sent and Jesus went. You can understand and you can begin to believe that you are significant in the eyes of your Heavenly Father because the Father sent Jesus and Jesus went. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, Paul says of this, at just the right time, at just the right time, at the fullness of time, when human history had culminated and time was ready to be harvested, Jesus came, born of a woman, born under law. He came because the Father sent him. Galatians 4, 4 through 5 says, God sent Jesus. At the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law. To redeem those guilty, to redeem those separated from Him. God sent and Jesus obediently went. The Lord Jesus, Philippians chapter 2 tells us, being in the very form and nature of God, God Himself did not consider living in His godness something to be grasped, but instead humbled Himself, coming to earth in the form of a baby, living amongst us with all of our mess, with all of our suffering, with all of our pain, and becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Do you want to know if you're significant? Just think about what the Father did. The Father sent His one and only Son to come to die on a cross, to take our suffering, to take our sin, to take our shame. And Jesus obediently came to take those things. The Father sent Him, and Jesus obediently went. Want to know if you're significant? Just look at what God has done. The Father sent, Jesus went, and Jesus came to seek the lost. Verse 5, I love it. You see, in the midst of this ruckus, crazy experience, can you imagine what it was like for Jesus just to be around Jesus? when the crowds are following him, when people are being healed, when people are being delivered, when thousands of people are being fed with just small amounts of food, when miracles are being done, when all kinds of amazing stuff is happening and the crowds are growing, they're not walking along silently. There's noise. There's activity. Many times you have the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. There's people pushing in on Jesus, trying to get there. And she somehow crawls under and touches his cloak. There's people all around him. It's vibrant. It's loud. It's exciting. What's he going to do next? What's he going to say next? And here's Zacchaeus wanting to get in the mix of all this. And in the midst of this gigantic crowd, trying to push in, trying to see, can't get up, can't see it, climbs a tree, and in the midst of it all, with all of these people, Zacchaeus is the one that stops Jesus. Zacchaeus is the one, with everybody around, with the noise, with the activity, with the vibrancy, Jesus stops in his tracks and looks up. And he calls to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm coming to your house. Because Jesus came to seek. He came to seek what was lost. He came to seek and to save the lost. I think of the parables back in Luke 15. The parable of the lost coin. There's a woman who has a coin and she's lost it and she needs it. And she turns everything up. She cleans the whole house. She seeks everywhere to find that lost coin. And when she finds it, what does she do? She calls her neighbors. She says, I found it. Come celebrate with me. In the parable of the shepherd who loses one out of 100 sheep, and he leaves the 99 in the open field, and he goes, and he does an all-out search, and what does he do? He finds the one lost sheep, and he comes home, and he gets his friends together. He says, I had one that was lost, and that sheep is now found. Come celebrate with me. It's a wonderful picture of what Jesus has done. He came to turn over all the tables and move the furniture. He came to go out into the wilderness and find that one lost coin or that one lost sheep. And he came to seek and he came to save that which was lost. This is the mission of Jesus. This was the purpose that Jesus came. If you want to encapsulate the whole purpose of the ministry of Jesus, it's Luke 19:10. That the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. If you ever ask the question, am I significant? Do I matter? The answer is yes. Because the Father sent His one and only Son. And the Son left the glories of heaven to do one thing. Seek and save that which was lost. And oftentimes, the longer we've been around the reality that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and the longer we have been found, the less we rejoice in the reality that we were once lost. Because we forget what it was like to be lost. We've lived so long as found that you forget how wonderful it is to be found when you were lost. If you ever wonder, do I matter? If you ever wonder, am I significant? The answer is yes. The Father sent, and Jesus went to seek and to save us that were lost. There's a step on our part, and that is to do what Zacchaeus did. In the midst of being called out, I'm going to your house today. Once he's there, verse 8 tells us that Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'm not just going to give them back what I've cheated them, I'm going to pay them back four times what I've cheated them. Here's a guy who had significance in his wealth. Here's a guy who had significance in his position. And what's he doing? He's cashing it all in. He's saying, I found a better place to find my significance. I found a better place to find my worth. I've found for the first time that I matter because Jesus came to seek and to save me in my lostness. See, he repented and he demonstrated his repentance by giving half his possessions to the poor and four times what he cheated others. There may be someone here today who needs to just simply repent of sin and turn to Jesus for the first time, recognizing I'm lost without Christ. And I come to the place today that I recognize that Jesus came to seek and to save me and my lostness, and he went to the cross to rescue me from my lostness. That may be the step for someone today, to place their faith in Christ, to turn from dependence upon self and to turn to Christ, who has done it on the cross for us. But you may have already said and received Christ as Savior, but you've been looking for significance in a place other than your Heavenly Father and in the person of Jesus. And so today you may need to repent of looking for significance in appearance or in affluence or in your position in life. You may need to repent of one of those four things so that you can say, Jesus, you are my most important person. You are the one that I find my significance in. If somebody says, do you matter? Yes, I matter. Why do I matter? Because I matter to him. And he never changes. You will always be significant in the eyes of your Father and in Jesus, who came to seek and to save the lost. Remember growing up, my parents were two of the most important human people in my life. And they demonstrated that over and over and over by coming to baseball game after baseball game after baseball game after baseball game. And some of those baseball games in high school baseball, when there was still snow flying or there was rain falling, or it was 95 degrees in the middle of the day and they sat there for two or three games on a Saturday, and you could look up in the stands and there they were. You knew to them you mattered, because who is going to do all of that for someone unless they mattered tremendously to them? I want you to know that as much as I matter to my parents, as much as my parents give me earthly significance, there is one who gives us more. When my parents pass on, I still have a Father. And my Savior Jesus still stands for me. And in him, my significance does not change. Whatever season of life you find yourself in, may we place our significance first and foremost, finding it first and foremost from him. As we go to prayer, the worship team will come and lead us in one last song. But as we go to prayer, I just want to give you an opportunity before the Lord. If there's an area that you need to repent of before him, to say, Lord, I've been looking for significance. I've been finding my significance in one of those areas. And Lord, I want to find my significance in you. Thank you, Jesus, for seeking and saving me. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. just in a moment before the Lord, I would encourage you, if there's something to repent of before Him and to shift it to Him, to do that in these moments. Let me give you a moment of quiet prayer, and then I'll pray for us. Let's pray.